Hi, everybody. This is Susie Orman, and soon we'll be launching my new podcast, Women and Money. Don't you miss it. On the show, besides having a lot of fun, we're going to answer financial questions from listeners, and maybe, just maybe, we'll even put you on so we can have a chat. Wouldn't you just love to talk to me? So be sure to check out Women and Money on Apple Podcasts, podcastone.com, and the new Podcast One app.
Recorded live at Corolla One Studios with Adam Carolla and board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist, Dr. Drew Pinsky. You're listening to The Adam and Dr. Drew Show.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get on mandate. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in, and thanks for telling a friend. We love that about you, right, Drew?
Yes, we do.
All right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We do. There's a couple calls up there I want to get to, but before I do, we were talking about our parents, and you were mad at me.
I was mad at you when I was walking right. the other day.
But I want to say that for the record, my parents did a bunch of shitty stuff, and we all talk about the shitty things our parents did. I have three things to be grateful for my parents. Three. They were excellent. My dad, at least, was an excellent grandparent.
Dad, at least.
Yeah. Well, my mom didn't really that interested in it.
Yeah.
But she wasn't bad. She helped out a little bit. But my dad was excellent. He really was amazing. And that forgives a million ills. You know what I mean? They left some shit behind. They got me a great education. So I have three things I can be grateful for. So.
Now, your mom is probably just one of these people that couldn't have other people exist in her world. Not in her world.
Yeah, that's a lovely attribute. But yes, that would about summarize
it. Just what you're looking for in a mom.
Exactly.
Like
Lynette. She would come to visit when our kids were little babies, toddlers. She'd play with the dogs. She wouldn't even acknowledge the kids.
Yeah, it is weird that people that have that gene are almost – they overcompensate, but they love dogs and they love pets. Like, it's like a weird sort of over the top for the dogs since they step over the grandchildren to get to the dog.
100%.
Which feels a little.
A little.
Well,
profoundly finish the thought.
Well, no, but I do. I really like my dog. And I'm lukewarm on my kids. But no, I was thinking about I was visited my sister the other day, and she had a dog, and her kids weren't around. But I think I'm sort of I don't overdo it with the kids, but I don't overdo it with the dog either. I'm just
And I think part of some of that is people who are anxious around other people, and they just go to the dogs, and they don't have to deal with people. They don't know how to. They're anxious, and so they just deal with the dog.
You're right.
You know, awkward or whatever. So,
but there are people that don't. Well, here's so interesting. So, Drew,
dig.
Something happened. I know the '70s were not something you're a fan of, but I had this conversation with a friend of mine. It was sort of interesting, which is my sister had to have some hip surgery. And somebody said to me, it's sort of on you to alert your dad.
What?
It was.
Oh, about your sister?
Right.
Okay.
And I thought, why do I have to tell him? And then it was sort of discussed that, well, your sister can't tell him. It's unclear why. But, I don't know. Maybe it's the kind of thing where. I don't know. Would your sister tell your dad she's getting hip surgery? I guess
yes.
She would.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Definitely yes. You don't want to think about that a little bit?
No.
All right. Either way, it was discussed with me that I was supposed to do that. And here's an interesting.
But I didn't.
Yeah. Then there's a chicken or the egg thing, Drew.
All right.
And there's a couple of ways, but I don't look at it chicken or the egg. But I'm curious what you think.
Okay.
So my mom, I was talking to my mom, and she said, alert your dad to the fact.
Because, well, your mom told you to do this.
Well, she doesn't talk to him either.
Right.
Well, this is awesome.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So I said, why do I have to do it? Like, why? I prefer not to.
Yeah.
Like, why don't you send him an email or Lauren will call him?
And to be fair, there's not a husband now, right? There is a husband now. Why didn't he do it?
Unclear, but either way, Matt will tell you, I'm like one of those, you ever go to the observatory and they do that thing where they'll like drop a marble in the middle of that funnel thing and it starts spinning around and they'll like drop another marble, they'll drop, I'm the hole. I'm the hole that all the marbles have to get into. Like I literally, I'm that hole.
Can I say, this is not meant to be pejorative. Really, it's not. But let's just think about the description. I'm an empty vessel around which all orbits and gets sucked into.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Okay. I literally started like, I raised my voice to Olga the nanny today.
It should be on the cover of my next book, The Vortex.
I raised my voice to Olga the nanny today.
Okay.
Who doesn't take any gruff from me.
For anybody. I told her how she talked back to that doctor when Cindy had the head injury.
She didn't take anything from anybody.
That doctor's going to kill that dog. It's no good. He's no good.
She didn't take any. She'll kick a dog. She'll yell at a doctor. She doesn't care who's paying the bills. And the back deck that I built had a lot of rains, a lot of standing water, some like mildew. And the deck needed to
be. Good times.
The deck needed to be scrubbed off, hosed down, whatever. Leaves and and all the stuff that I shouldn't necessarily be worrying about because I got to go do 28 podcasts, but it's in my thing, you know. And so I said, look, I called the guy Gary. I said, have Gary come over and we'll give him a brush and a hose and a nylon brush on a pole and we'll throw down some simple green and mix it with some water or something. And so I sort of said to Olga, hey, Gary's coming over in an hour. Get him lined out.
Okay.
Everyone's home, mind you. But you, get him lined out. Get make sure he's got the brush and the hose and give him a bucket and, I don't know, dump some simple green in there and let's just go at it. And then I went back to my office and then she said, we're almost out of simple green. And I said, all right, well, then some sort of like mildew buster or something. It's just some cleaner, some cleanser, some. I have a whole garage filled with jugs of cleaners and anti this and mildew resistant that, you know, get the stuff with the Clorox or whatever. And then she came back in the office. She said, I have bleach.
Yeah.
I said, the deck is painted. And I think if you dump bleach on it, it's going to bleach out the paint. So let's not go. And she said, well, we don't have much simple. And then I got up and I walked out to the back and I just grabbed some like tile cleaner or something and I sprayed it on. I got my hand brush and I brushed it off and I said, it'll be clean. It cleans up pretty nice with the tile grout cleaner and this bristled nylon bristle brush. And then she said, well, we got this much simple green and then we got this much, you know, bleach buster. Should I mix the two? I said, get a bucket and just put them together and give them the thing. And she said, should I mix it? I said, just handle it. Like, I gotta go. I don't want to be a dick. She didn't like me yelling at her, but I mean, it's like.
Did you apologize?
Not really. It's like at a certain point, someone's got to do something because I have to go do 9 podcasts and I just can't simply be in charge of everything. Just please, whatever other people would do, pretend you live in Norm MacDonald or Artie Lang. Just pretend I'm Artie Lang. Then do what you would do. Just go. I'm not a deck cleaning specialist. Right. Like, I don't know anything more about this than you do.
Well, to be fair, I mean, if she left it up to her own devices, she would have put bleach on it and you would have been pissed. And she was sort of put on notice.
On it with some vinegar.
Take my one up here.
Hold on. I'm not done.
There you are.
So I had to yell, why me? All right. And then I just left. And also I find myself having to do everything, which is like, hey, man, when he's hosing down that deck, Sonny's got that big plastic ball box. It's covered with shit. You got to hose that down too. Don't leave the black circle around that thing. Move it. Hose it. And I realize, because everyone does such a shitty job of everything all the time that I'm now like paranoid with the dodo. Yeah. Nobody's got to do that. He's got to do that. You tell him, make sure you're here when he comes here because you need to tell him that he's got to.
It's weird. Susan supervises some of the little construction things we do, and she has to be there. If she's not there, it doesn't happen. It's weird.
Well, that was the. That's when it really got tough because I said, look, Gary's going to be here too. Olga, you make sure that he takes care of this deck. And she's going, I'm leaving at 1:45.
Ooh.
And I said, when are you coming back? She went, 5. And I went,
ah. Nice.
Now, so who's Lynette's the default? Well, okay. Now there's Lynette.
Okay.
All right. So we'll see what happened with the deck. I gave everyone the big speech. But I really.
So you go home, you're going to find out today.
Yeah, but the point is this. I think Matt will back me up on this. Mm-hmm. Everyone's like, well, that, you know, Adam, he loves complaining about it. No, I do not. As a matter of fact, I'm going to make a wildly controversial statement. I wish somebody cleaned all the black mold off of the deck before I even noticed it. I would like to wake up on a Saturday morning and go, oh, what happened to all the black mold on it? Oh, we cleaned it off. Oh, well, fantastic. That's the world I would like to live in. I don't want to live in the world where I'm in charge of all that all the time. But I'm that black hole at the observatory, and everyone else is a marble, and it's going to end up at my hole. So
we'll just call it the pie hole.
The pie hole. So I said to my mom, why don't you talk to Dad and tell him? And she's like, well, why? Blah, 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 blah. You know, we have to talk about everything all the time. I'll tell you what, Drew Stein, take call, but then I'll
a
tell
bunch
you.
Of good ones.
Well, I'll tell you this.
All right.
Now I want to know, Drew. I said, I said to my mom, not a big fan. And, you should go talk to Dad. And, she said he did the best he could do. And I thought
that again,
well, hold on a second. It was interesting because he did the best he could do. Was a pretty good and viable excuse turn of the century.
No, you've mentioned this before. We've had this conversation.
Oh, I'm sure.
You do not think he did his best.
No, but historically it meant something. Historically,
well, it actually meant somebody trying to do their best, and circumstances made it impossible. Like,
yeah, it was like
they did their best to get the Titanic across.
It was away at a logging camp for 3 weeks out of every month, and I know he wishes he could have been, but he was at a logging camp, you know? And it was it was a thing that worked. It was it
actually
meant something.
Was. Yeah, it meant something. He did his best was he could be smoked pot and laid in bed all day. Did his best.
But then one could say, but that is what they were doing. So is that what they were capable of doing? This is my chicken or the egg thing. You know what I'm saying? Like you go, well, that's what they did. So that's what they could do.
He did his best for the circumstances of that moment of his history in that historical context, which is inadequate. It's in other words, we're explaining why it was why the inadequacy developed. Doesn't make it not inadequate, right?
Right, and I think it's a vestige of the past, of the vestige of when the guy went off to the logging
and maybe
camp and wasn't there.
Maybe that's when we decided explanations were defenses too. Explanations don't defend anything; they're just a description of how things happen. And once they happen, you know that the axe falls. Like, well, he was beaten as a child, and he had a certain brain condition that made him a psychopath, and so he went out and chopped up that little girl. It's like. Yeah, and now he needs to lose his life. That's it, period. Yeah. He did his best. Yeah, too bad.
Well, I would also kind of argue – I'd argue it's more like he was beaten as a child, and now he's beating his child. It's like, yeah, but he doesn't have to beat his child.
It's explainable. It's not okay.
Right.
It's not best.
And also, 75 times a day as a parent, like my son comes to me. I'll be sitting at my desk answering tweets or something, and he'll just go, hey, Dad – can you come out to the backyard and tell me about your day while I bounce on the trampoline? And my first impulse is sort of like, your mom will be around and whatever. And I go, oh, all right, let's not be a bad parent. And I just get up and go out there and sit down. I don't sit down there for 2 hours, sit down for 20 minutes, and he bounces on the trampoline and tells me about his day. It's not that bad. Mm-hmm. All right, let me tell you about hymns. Mm-hmm, 65. Percent of men start losing their hair by 35, and I think it's before then. Again, my hairstylist says it's much, much earlier than that. 4hims.com, one-stop shop for hair loss, skin care, sexual wellness, and more. Thanks to science, baldness can be optional now. Hims connects you with the real doctors and medical-grade solutions to treat hair loss. Generic equivalents of name-brand prescriptions to keep your hair. No gas station countertop supplements, no waiting room or awkward doctor visits. Our listeners get a trial month of Hims for just $5. While supplies last, could cost hundreds if you went to the pharmacy. And again, you don't have to go to the pharmacy. You can talk to a real doctor, get the real deal pharmaceuticals that work, that are going to prevent this hair loss or help you in other realms as well. Go to forhims.com/ADS. That's forhims.com/ADS. All right. There's a question about your book. Is that right?
I want to go line one first.
Line one first.
You've been up there for a while, and I got to set that straight.
Hey, Ken, 51 Phoenix.
Hey, guys. How are you doing?
Hi, guy.
Do you understand my question, or do I need to repeat it?
Yeah, because it's nothing I would ever say, so I need to understand what you think you heard.
Well, I'm Adam's age, so I'm doing this thing that he's asking you for.
Hang on. You're doing a colonoscopy.
Had one done.
Okay.
But I also had this this thing they're advertising on the
The Cologuard. The Cologuard.
Yes.
Yeah.
They did that.
Right.
Got that done. It passed.
Good.
And they go, well, we got to sign you up for a colonoscopy. I go, well, why did I do that? And they go, oh, well, that's not going to tell you everything.
You know, the Cologuard, you just sort of do every year. I personally think you can skip it on the year when you do the colonoscopy. The colonoscopy is necessary. Listen, I have to – because you want to really get fancy, go to color.com and do genetic testing. There are things there that they can test you for, common DNA repair abnormalities like the BRCA genes, things like that, that can tell you whether you're at added risk for colon cancer or stomach cancer. I happen to have something called Lynch syndrome that turned up on my testing, so I have to have colonoscopies every year. I don't do any Cologuard. I do it every year.
That's my one follow-up question, because I thought you guys did that and Adam's test came back to where he was not going to get that. You know, he was opposite of you.
Didn't you have colonoscopy?
No, I'm trying to schedule the colonoscopy.
Okay.
The 23andMe one, or the Color.
Color.com, yeah.
The Color.com one we did, came back, said I was in the whatever safe zone.
You have nothing.
Most of, yeah.
So then why couldn't he take that and then at 60 do a colonoscopy? Because it's so expensive. I just kind of, looked at it and I'm kind of skeptical. But
how much is
it? Be a good topic.
How much is it?
It was $5,000.
How much? Well, you don't have insurance?
Oh, I had insurance.
How much?
They tell you. It was just my deductible.
Oh, yeah.
So the thing is I don't incur the cost.
Yeah.
Everybody else incurs the cost, right? But if you imagine everybody over 50 being told, well, you got to do this every year.
Oh, not every year. No. It's every 10 years, most cases.
Right. Now they said, we don't want to see you do 60. But I did learn after it was done that my aunt died of colon cancer.
Yes, you need to do this. It is one of the most significant tests for preventing cancer. And believe me, the U.S. Task Force, which is this sort of these people that carefully analyze the cost-benefit analysis of these screening procedures, are constantly weighing out the cost versus the benefit.
Right.
No one should die of colon cancer today. It should be picked up. It's just ridiculous that it's not, but it is a cumbersome procedure to have to go through at this point.
Right, and there's risks, and your body changes after it. And
well, so you get better pretty quick.
What do you mean your body changes after?
You get dehydrated.
Your bowel movement changes after it.
Not for how long?
Not for very long.
You eat Mexican, your bowel movement changes.
Since I've had it 6 months ago. It changed it. It straightened it out. What it does is they don't tell you this. They put air in your intestine, in your colon, and they blow it. They expand it. And the problem is if they do it too much, it could blow.
Yeah, but that never happens.
First off, I'm picturing the center of that giant gyro hole at the observatory time we're talking about this.
Yes.
So now it's number one. Number two, Ken's one of these guys, kind of reminds me of like the foreskin restoration guys or something. Yes. Little too much concern over
let me talk
this.
To him a little
First
bit.
Thing they do is put words in your mouth.
Yeah, yeah. Let me talk to him a little
Find
bit.
Find Dr. Stefano's anal emporium. I don't know, because there's some colon shots on that.
Ken, you've got to separate knowledge and wisdom.
I'm laughing with Adam. It's a needed test. I'm just what my basic mind is they're advertising this, and they're saying, "Oh, you don't have to do a colonoscopy." You know, I did get educated, and the doctor did what he.
Yeah, the Cologuard. Cologuard is a better screen. We used to just screen for blood in the stool. Now the Cologuard is a little better. That's all. It's a better test, and it's a more expensive test, a more involved test. But yeah, you could just do the stool blood every year. That's fine too.
Right. I don't need to see him for another 10 years. So, yeah. And then I did all my blood work and the.
All right.
Okay.
I got you.
Good times.
I need him.
And then the book. Then the book at the bottom there.
All right. So.
Talk. Well, let's talk about TrueCar first. MSRP, invoice, list price. Do you guys know what that all means? All very confusing. That's why TrueCar is introducing True Price from TrueCar. That way. No, everything's transparent, and you know exactly what you're going to pay. The fees, the accessories, everything is there, and you know it before you get to the dealership. You also know exactly what you've signed up for because you've seen a scattergram of what people have paid for your car in your area, so you know you've locked in a fair price. Certified dealers, TrueCar certified dealers, set their true price competitively. They want to win your business, so you know it's a competitive price. You know it's a great price. You see what others paid, and then you know once you've locked it in, you've locked in a specific vehicle on a TrueCar certified dealer's lot. And not only do you get that specific vehicle, you're transparent about the fees and accessories so you know which car, you know how much, and when you're ready to buy, new or used, you just visit TrueCar so you can enjoy that more confident car buying experience. You walk in, you know exactly what it's going to cost, you know exactly what the car is, and you do it. Some features not available in all states.
All right. You have Dr. Stefan. All right. I'll go line four, and then you can give Dr. Stefan. Right. Nellie?
Yes.
Hey, 35 Chicago. What's going on?
Hi. Great to talk to you guys. I always learn something, and it's frankly a little dose of sanity in my life every day.
Yay.
Hey.
Thanks. So I wanted to tell Drew that I actually wrote my master's thesis on the effects of media and narcissism.
Crazy.
And it was really inspired by his book, The Mirror Effect. So,
thank you, Nellie. It's very, very cool.
That's the name of Dr. Drew's book.
Yeah.
It was interesting because I tested several groups of college students by showing them a video of different situations, and one of them was a celebrity complaining about how bad their life was, even though it was obviously pretty fantastic. And what was interesting is that the range in the NPI scores and the Narcissistic Personality Inventory scores, the test that I used to test the reaction, had a much wider range than the control, which I thought was really interesting.
So it changed their narcissistic inventory, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, so it
you know what I think that is? I think what that is, I'm going to bet that is evoking envy, and envy falls out of that scale. And envy is a narcissistic impulse. Envy is a very destructive emotion and highly prevalent today. So you probably were dealing with a population that really is prone to envy. And boom, that actually evokes all kinds of narcissistic qualities.
Yeah, it was really great to actually do a little piece of empirical research based on the theory. I thought it was really fantastic.
Very cool.
So
congratulations.
Thank you for that.
That's cool.
So my question is there a genetic component to borderline personality disorder? And if so, are there any preventive measures aside from more of the common sense things like raising children in a stable environment?
Right. There's a high incidence of childhood trauma, right, in the borderline population, but not exclusively, right? There's probably a certain amount of genetic component and a certain amount of environment component, some more the environment, some more the genetics. And since I started in the psychiatric hospital in 1984, people were hot to try to figure the genetics of borderline out. And I remember back in the 90s, people were like, it's all genetic. That's it. It's 100% genetic. And that never seemed right to me. So it's probably a little mix of both. The specific genes, I'm sure some people have some theories out there. It's usually an MAO sort of gene, you know, something.
What's an MAO gene?
So it's a metabolic enzyme, a monoamine oxidase, mm-hmm. that's involved in the production of neurotransmitters. And again, to me, those are very vague genetic observations. Instead of there being a specific one, I'm sure somebody has one. I'm not aware of what they are. Are you a psychologist now?
I work in the healthcare industry, but I'm not a psychologist.
Yeah. And do you have somebody around you who's borderline?
It's very prevalent in my mom's side of the family. Yeah, I'm asking because I'm pregnant with twins.
Oh, man. So, wow. Well, yes, you know, nurturing, empathy, to, you know, stay present, enough time with the children, twins, it makes it extra super tough, right? And, you know, read all of the I would get into more of the Peter Fonagy, Alan Shore, you know, Dan Siegel stuff, where it's about how to build affect regulation. Borderlines are dysregulated at their core.
Okay.
And so they do lose a lot of projective identification and splitting, and they just can't regulate, and they have primitive means of getting through emotionally. You develop your kid's flexible emotional landscape, and that's you. That's you spending lots of time just empathizing and tuning to them.
They'll be fine. You're you.
Yeah, yeah. I think she's right.
You want to hear Dr. Stefanos?
Sure. Never heard this.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, I have.
Hello. I'm proctologist Dr. Carl Stefano. I've been in practice for over 20 years, surgically removing the stuff that people put up their butts for a thrill. You may ask, where does all this quality merchandise go?
Dr. Stefano's Anal Emporium! We've got miles and miles of quality merchandise at rock aerosol deodorant, leading store price, $3.49. Dr. Stefano's discount price, 59 cents. Light bulb, 3-pack, leading store price, $2.99. My discount price, just 49 cents. Declawed gerbil, pet store price, over $10 a pop. Dr. Stefano's discount price, $4.49. The competition's prices are astronomical. My price is astronomical. Right, little fella? We're looking for rock bottom prices on carrots, cucumbers, and zucchinis? And don't forget to check out our produce section. We've got freshness you can smell and taste. Also, look for big savings on football, toothbrush, traffic cone, action figure, travel mug, and graduation cap and gown. If you like quality merchandise, you love to save money, and you don't mind stuff that's been in another person's ass, then come on down to Dr. Stefano's Anal Emporium. We got rock bottom prices.
Rock bottom prices in San Francisco, West Hollywood, and our newest store in Salt Lake City, Utah.
We got rock
bottom. So good. It's so good.
It's so stupid.
But it's based on something real, which shit ends up
being... it's not based on...
No, listen, man. I'm going to tell you something.
You know who wrote that? Well, I always write sort of half of it, but that was Dan Dratch. That was Rachel Dratch's brother.
How fun.
Who came to me. We never could figure out whether it was Dr. Stefano or Dr. Stefano. We never figured it out. We just went, I'll be Dr. Stefano, but it could be Stefano.
Oh my God. We don't know. That's funny. But listen, Nicole and Jemmy, who has
graduation cap and gown, that's my favorite.
Nicole and Jemmy is this very famous Instagram site. Nicole is Mrs. _ and Jemmy. And she, it's all these pathology specimens and things. She's a path tech. It's a very, very popular site. But her favorite thing is to put up all the stuff people throw up the asshole. Mm-hmm. And it's rather extraordinary, the range. And I saw on your shelves pretty much everything that she has put up on her
but not
website.
The produce.
Absolutely,
yeah, she had the produce. But it couldn't be resold at rock bottom prices.
No, not those prices.
I don't know why. I only remember like five things from the Man Show, but my competition's prices are astronomical.
That's so good.
My prices, ass.
You know my other two astronomical. My other two favorite bits. Can I say, please? Because if you can find them, I would love it someday. One is the Heavenly Ever After, whatever that was. Sleep.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah. No, we never came up with a good name.
But it's where they clean up. What was it called?
I'll think of it.
And then the other was Primate Theater. The first Primate Theater was genius.
Yeah, there was Rest Assured.
Rest Assured. That's what
yeah. You know, it's weird. That was the first idea I ever had for the Man Show was Rest Assured.
Yeah.
And I could never come up with a name that I thoroughly liked.
Yeah.
And we all tried for a million years.
I think we even talked about it, you and I, before you came out with it. I remember it sort of.
Well, any guys had roommates and their parents lived in Philly and you saw what was in their room, realize that someone is going to have to mop up that mess before the folks came in.
Should we do it next tomorrow?
We'll
or do
it next show.
Yeah, tomorrow. Hold on to it.
All right. I'll tell you about
the Primate Theater from the pilot, too.
I don't even remember what
went on with that. Oh, so good.
Life Lock.
Watson, I have something to tell you.
Oh, that I remember about. Yeah, but God, it's been a while. Another major data breach, man. This time it's Orbitz. May have compromised 880,000 customers, hackers, access, credit card numbers, names, dates, birth, phone numbers. Hey, look, every time you turn on the news, there's something going on, man. They're stealing your identity. You can't let it happen. You need LifeLock. That's all. Let's see. Today, you're connected with the world, but the weak link. The criminals get in there. They slide in. They steal your info, and that's it. New LifeLock Identity Theft Protection adds Norton Security to help protect against threats to your identity and your devices that you can't see or fix on your own. Look, if you have a problem, they have agents that will work to fix it, but you're not going to have a problem because you got LifeLock, right, Drew?
That's right. No one can stop every cyber threat, prevent all identity theft, or monitor transactions at all businesses. But new LifeLock with Norton Security is able to uncover threats you might otherwise miss. Go to LifeLock.com or call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use the promo code ADAM for an additional 10% off your first year. That is promo code ADAM for an additional 10% off.
All right. Let me just get rid of this guy. Line two. What's this guy's name? Hey, Jason. Yeah. You want to know when last time we cried? I don't want to know when Drew cried last.
I can tell you.
I don't want to know.
Why?
Because I don't like it.
All right.
It's too personal. It's too intimate for me. I want to know the last time he broke something in anger.
Ooh. That I don't do.
You don't?
No.
I had a tantrum and broke. I broke a child's bed.
You broke a whole thermostat unit at the radio station.
That's right. I kicked
it
off
the wall.
I smashed one of my kids' beds.
Why?
Well, what had happened? It was a double stroller for the twins.
Yeah.
What had happened was I'll be fast. I kind of realized that we have too much money and too much stuff.
Corolla household.
And things need to be kind of cycled in and cycled out. Like we just have to get the thing we're not using or get it out. And it's like a double kid stroller with a double bassinet or whatever. And the kids like outgrew it, you know. And it ended up sort of in the garage and it was just rolling around for, you know. And I said, look, what are we going to – let's get rid of it. What are we going to do? Give it to the orphanage. Give it to whatever. And I said, Olga, take it to the church. Give it to the church kids or whatever. And she's like, yeah. So I said, okay, take it with you. You know, and said, okay. And then, of course, the next day it was down there again. And then, like, at some point, I, like, said, I want this out. I don't want to throw it away, but I want it gone. And I'm tired of tripping over it in the garage. So, look, fold it up. And I think I, like, put it in the back of Olga's car. And I said, if you're going to take it to the church, just take it to the church. I just don't want to deal with it anymore.
Yeah.
And I think, like, the next day I went out and it was, like, back in the garage.
Oh,
and I just went, like, you know what? Fuck it. I paid for it. I've been begging for everyone around me for 2 months to get rid of it. They won't. I just bent it into a pretzel and threw it in a garbage can. I was like, I'd like the orphans to have it as well, but evidently it's not happening.
Not to be.
And I'm tired. I feel like I've done my due diligence on getting rid of this thing, and that's it. So I just stood by the trash can and literally beat it over the side of a trash can until I bent all the metal up, and then I chucked it. And the orphans are on foot today. All right. This Friday, Capitol Theater, Madison, Wisconsin. Come see me do stand-up, Agora Theater. Coming up May 17th, that's in Cleveland, and then May 18th, Royal Oak Music Theater. That's outside of Detroit. New shows all over the place. Go to AdamCarolla.com and Ladin Theater, Portland, two shows there. That's June 9th and all the good stuff. Drew, what do you got?
Dr.com, Ryan Holiday, the Dr. Drew podcast. You do not want to miss that. Also, the This Life, the Swole Patrol, so you can hear the updates on this silly diet I'm on and the weird heavy weightlifting I'm doing now. And check out the YouTube and the Facebook page, please.
So, until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew. Sam, mahalo.